Our subject matter for this afternoon is Revelation chapter 12. But there is a verse that I would like to read first of all in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 I would like to read with you. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I would like you to particularly keep in mind this expression, great is the mystery of godliness. For when we look at chapter 12 in Revelation, we are really having a look at the mystery of godliness. So let's read, first of all, Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, beginning at verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon the heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,180 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the woman cast out of her, and the serpent cast out of her mouth, his mouth, water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I've asked you to keep in mind those words, great is the mystery of godliness. For this chapter, chapter 12 of Revelation, is really a parenthesis in John's, in the vision that John received of future events. In this particular parenthesis, what we are viewing is the history of Israel from a heavenly perspective. That means that the church is not in this chapter. As she is the bride of Christ and is already in heaven. The nations of the world are not the subject of this chapter. They're left out. For this chapter is particularly looking at the history of the children of Israel. And when we look at the history of the children of Israel, it's because Israel received the promises of the Redeemer, that she has been the object of Satan's hatred throughout history. The chapter really is giving us an insight into the outward working of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. You think of Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so, as we look at the history of Israel, the first thing I notice is that in this chapter there are four periods in Israel's history that we look at. The first period is verses 1 and 2. This is really covering that period of time from God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, when God said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. At that period of time, then verses 1 to 2 really takes us from Genesis 12, verse 1, to Malachi 6, verse 4, all of the Old Testament. Throughout all of that period of Israel's history, God gave promise after promise concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of this one promise that we read in Genesis chapter 28, and God is speaking, and he says, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And the thing that particularly impresses me in that promise is that I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And God has given Israel promises, and God has said, I will all be with you until every promise is fulfilled. The second period in Israel's history that is mentioned is really in verse 5. And to me, verse 5 is taking in and reminding us from Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, to Acts chapter 1 and verse 10. It is all the period concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Galatians, could tell them that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So that when all the promises that God had given for the coming of the Redeemer had been fulfilled, that was the fullness of time. Christ came. And then when we read in Matthew chapter 9, we read of that period of time. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So we've looked at the first period of time, Revelation 12, verses 1 and 2. The second period, Revelation 12, verse 5. The third period of time is Revelation 12, verse 6. And this really would take us from Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 until the middle of the tribulation period. And there we find the Lord Jesus described this period for the children of Israel. And he said, it is the beginning of sorrows. Just the beginning. And of this period of time, we have Israel's lament. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. Turn thyself to us again. And Israel is lamenting during that period. But then throughout that same period of time, God gives a promise. In Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11, he gives this promise. I am with you, saith the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered you, yet will I make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee, I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So this period of time was a time of punishment. And during this first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, Israel is lulled by a false promise of peace. And so we have it referred to as by the number of days. So we have the first period of time, the second period of time, the third period, and then we have the fourth period, and that's Revelation 12, verses 13 to 17. This period takes in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. The time period is called the Great Tribulation. The English word tribulation tribulation comes from the old Latin word meaning to thresh out or to beat out. And the Greek word for the same period means to distress, afflict, and oppress. And so when we have combined those meanings, we find that the word tribulation means to thresh, to beat out, causing distress, affliction, and oppression. And all through that tribulation period, the object of Satan's hatred is Israel. The period begins with the abomination of desolation. And three times in the book of Daniel, we read of the abomination that makes the desolation being set up. And we are not told exactly what this means. But Revelation 13 and 14 and 15 speaks of the image of the beast being set up in Jerusalem. And so perhaps that is what is referred to as the abomination of desolation. During this second half, the 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, which is referred to as time, times, and half a time, the rider on the red horse, that's Revelation 6, verses 3 and 4, and the rider on the pale horse, Revelation 6, 7, and 8, come forth to take away all appearance of peace from the world. And so we have four periods of time in Israel's history. The second thing to look at in this is a number of individuals that are brought before us. The first is a woman. And who is this woman? Well, because this is a period of the history of Israel, the Old Testament scriptures would identify her as Israel. And why is Israel seen as a woman? Well, because if we read in Daniel 7 and Daniel 8, we find that the nations of the world are all seen as animals. But Jeremiah and Isaiah both identify this woman as Israel. She's there. If we read in Jeremiah 31, we read, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which by covenant they break. Although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord." And Isaiah and so when we look at this, we look at Israel formally becoming the wife of Jehovah at Mount Sinai. Moses came and called for the elders of the people, laid before them, before their faces, the words of the Lord that the Lord had commanded. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. From that moment on, Israel was always referred to as the wife of Jehovah from Mount Sinai. And so when we look at this woman in this chapter, I find five different times in which she is looked at in various aspects. In verse 1, we see her glories. She's a woman of glory. She is clothed with the sun and the moon. She has been given all the oracles of God, all the promises, all the commandments of the Lord. And as a light, Israel was to show forth to the world those things that God had promised, those things that God had given her. And then the Apostle Paul likely is referring to this fact When he wrote to the Corinthians, he could say, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then we read he wears a crown of 12 stars. Those 12 stars would speak to us of Israel's 12 tribes, 12 separate tribes, 12 sons of Jacob. And I notice that she is clothed with glory. And I notice that in Genesis chapter 3, that Adam is clothed with the skins of animals. In Revelation 12, we read that Israel is clothed with garments of light. But I find that something that's really precious, that takes us in. God has clothed the redeemed with garments of salvation. Isaiah 61, verse 10. That's you and I. We have been clothed. While this woman has been clothed with glory, we've been clothed with garments of salvation. The second thing that I notice about her is in verse 2. She is a recipient of all the promises concerning the Messiah. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of this. In Luke chapter 24 and 27, we read this about the Lord Jesus. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that's our Lord Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Israel was a recipient of all the promises concerning the Messiah. Then I've noticed verse 5. She is marked by unbelief. By unbelief. The Messiah came. The Savior was born. And they would not accept him. I find it really remarkable when we read in Matthew chapter 2. We read the wise men coming. And the wise men saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And Herod asked the chief priests, where was the Messiah to be born? And they could tell him. They could tell him exactly where to go. And what I find really remarkable is not one single priest went to see him. The shepherds went to see him. Later on, the wise men had came to see him. But what happened to the ones who knew the promises and could actually quote them to Herod? And they were marked by unbelief. And the sad thing is, in Luke chapter 19, we read these words. And his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. The sad comment, we will not have this man to reign over us. And then in John chapter 18, and we read of them concerning Barabbas. They cried out again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Not this man, but Barabbas. The woman was marked by unbelief. Then I read the next thing. It's in verse 6. She was scattered among the nations. And we live today and we see that they're scattered all over the world. And again in Luke chapter 21, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And he says, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles till the time, trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. She scattered. Scattered amongst the nations. And it makes it particularly, and it says, into the wilderness. She's going into the wilderness. And throughout Scripture, the wilderness represents a place of desolation, discipline, testing. But really, a wilderness all in Scripture also speaks of a time in the life of a child of God when the Lord does not have first place. And I think of this. When we read in Revelation chapter 2, and we read of the church at Ephesus, and what the Lord's assessment, thou hast left thy first love. We, even today, could go through a wilderness period when the Lord does not have first place. And you see that this woman, to this woman, the Lord did not have first place. But you'll notice as well, it says, but a place prepared. And as you follow the history of the children of Israel from the days of the Lord Jesus down to today, that a place prepared, a place amongst the nations of the world, that those nations that have honored Israel have prospered, become very great. And then we can see nations that at one time prospered greatly, and Israel had free course in the country. And then they turned their backs against them. And within a short period of time, they lost their empires. They lost their place in the world. That all goes back to them. Then those that bless thee, I will bless. That's what the Lord said. And then the next thing I read about this woman is, should feed her. And God's promise to Abraham is fulfilled. I will bless them that bless thee. Israel has been fed all these years and will continue to be fed by God. And so I've looked at this place. We've seen her glories. We see her recipient of promises of God. We see her marked by unbelief. We see her scattered. But then we see her persecuted. Verses 13 to 17, the woman is persecuted by Satan and his allies. Persecuted. Over and over again. But then I think of this well, as the woman, how is she provided with the things she needs? Well, we're not told how in the wilderness she would be provided, but perhaps it'll be the same way in which Israel was provided in the Sinai desert. And God speaking to Moses could say, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. God will provide for them. So then we've looked at the woman. But then we can look at the child that was born. We know who the child is. The child is our Lord Jesus Christ. We know many things about him. We know of his birth. We know of his life, of how he went from village to village teaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But I would like you to particularly note in this verse, verse 5 that speaks of it, and she brought forth a man child that which should rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And we notice really all that we note about this man, this child, is his birth and his ascension. And what I find interesting about the birth and the ascension is that angels were present. At his birth, the angel said, there is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's at his birth. And then the angels were there at his ascension. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up? This same Jesus shall so come as ye have seen him go. At his birth and at his death. But then we read that he was born to rule. He was born to be a king. Psalm chapter 2 emphasizes that he is going to rule as a king. And then when you come to the time of his crucifixion, what is the thing that Pilate brings for him? Art thou a king? And he says, thou sayest it. And then Pilate brings him forth and he speaks to the people and he says, behold your king. He was the one who came to rule. But they turned their backs upon him. And in a coming day, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. But then I think this, Satan seeks to destroy him. While Satan would know that he could not destroy him, what he wants to do is destroy his reputation. What people think of him, to turn their minds away from them. Yes, there were times when Satan tried to destroy the kingly line from David. You see, God had promised to David that of David's descendants would come the Messiah. And Satan at first tried to stop, to kill all the descendants of that. And so we can go to 2 Kings chapter 11 and we can read of Athaliah, who, when her son died, she went out and tried to destroy all the royal seed. And one child was preserved. And then we can read in Matthew chapter 2 when Herod tried to slay the young child. But in all cases, God moved to preserve, to protect those that they had had. And then we read it here that that Christ is caught up to the throne of God, there to be forever with him, awaiting that day when the Father shall give that word, and then he shall come. He's going to come again. But we think of this here. We're looking at the history of the children of Israel. We see, first of all, the time period. four time periods, from Adam, from Abraham to Malachi, from Matthew to Acts, from Acts to the middle of the tribulation period, and then we find the great tribulation. We have two other individuals to look at. Well, to look at the great red dragon, to look at Michael, and to look at that final tribulation period. But I notice that we have only about 5 minutes left, so perhaps we'll stop at this point and pick it up next week. But let us close in prayer.